This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM Newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.
But first, our top story. More than 50,000 migrants have been sent to Chicago from Texas and other states in the last 2 years. But what seemed at one point like a flood of new arrivals is now down to a trickle. Today, city leaders spelled out how the city's response to those arrivals will now change, including a reduction in total shelter beds. WBBM's Rachel Pearson brings us an update.
The number of asylum seekers coming to Chicago slowed in recent months, which is why Mayor Brandon Johnson says the city's transitioning from a crisis response into a longer-term solution.
This shift means demobilizing the new arrivals mission by the end of the year to focus on adding 3,800 beds to the legacy DFSS homelessness service system.
Starting January 1st, the city will implement a one-system initiative combining services for new arrivals and Chicagoans experiencing homelessness. A total of 6,800 beds will be available for anyone in need, and there will no longer be an exit policy. Some critics worry there won't be enough space, resulting in more homelessness, but Mayor Johnson says he's limited by the city's budget. Still, he says the new system will benefit anyone in Chicago,
whether they arrived here just a few days ago or have lived here all of their lives.
Rachel Pearson, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
And there's no comment from the mayor's office on the latest high-level departure from the Johnson administration. Crane Chicago Business reports Deputy Mayor for Education Jen Johnson, who is not related to the mayor, is taking an indefinite leave of absence. For health reasons, her departure is coming in the middle of contract talks between the Chicago Teachers Union and the public school system, and just days before the mayor's new hand-picked school board members are expected to take over at the Board of Ed. Jurors hearing opening statements today in the federal corruption trial of former state House Speaker Michael Madigan and his longtime former associate Michael McLean. CBS News Chicago reporter Marissa Perlman says attorneys for both sides wrapped up selection of the final alternate jurors early this afternoon.
Federal prosecutors say Madigan used his political power for personal gain. Those prosecutors are calling a nearly decade-long scheme the Madigan Enterprise. But the defense in this case is expected to argue that Madigan did nothing wrong and blast the prosecution for trying to criminalize legal political actions.
Federal prosecutors have focused on Madigan's support for legislation favoring ComEd in exchange for the utility, hiring his friends and supporters for largely do-nothing jobs. An early morning crash on I-80 leads to numerous charges for a Hammond man.
Indiana State Police say it happened around 2 a.m. in the eastbound lanes of I-80 near Calumet Avenue. Two troopers were stopped on the left side of the roadway to investigate an earlier crash, but authorities say another vehicle rear-ended one of the troopers' squad cars. Both troopers were outside their vehicles at the time, performing field sobriety tests on a driver and were not hurt. Police say the suspect vehicle then took off and was spotted a short time later, driving with only three wheels. It eventually crashed. Investigators say the driver ran on foot and tried to get into a marked Hammond Fire Department vehicle before being taken into custody. Charges against 26-year-old Kyle Barber include operating while intoxicated, failure to report a crash, resisting law enforcement, and reckless driving causing property damage. Andy Dane, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Well, a lot of drivers would have to tap the brakes when driving around Chicago under a new measure that won preliminary approval today in a city council committee. Bucktown Alderman Daniel Laspada sponsored the measure to lower the city's residential speed limit from 30 to 25 miles per hour. He says traffic deaths have dropped in other cities that have reduced their speed limits in recent years.
When you reduce speed limits by statute, it does factually lead to drivers driving slower.
However, he's holding it out of consideration at tomorrow's full council meeting to give Alders more time to look over the plan. Governor Pritzker says he has not talked to White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf about his plans for the team, but he says he has not changed his mind about public funding for a potential new ballpark for the Southside Club. It's the governor's first comment since last week's report that Reinsdorf is open to selling the team. At an unrelated event in Chicago today, the governor told reporters it's too soon to know if a sale would mean the team would leave the city and that public funding for a new Sox ballpark was not on his list of priorities.
$1 billion or, you know, so investment in a private business that's, for a private business rather, that is, you know, owned by wealthy people and is a, you know, is a highly valued enterprise, seems like the taxpayers rightly should say, don't we have other uses for that capital?
The state already owns and manages Guaranteed Rate Field, which it agreed to build after Reinsdorf threatened to move the Sox to Florida back in the 80s. No end in sight to the stalemate between the new Chicago Sports Network and the region's largest pay TV provider.
If you're a Comcast Xfinity subscriber, your only option for Bulls and Blackhawks games right now is an antenna, which of course went out of fashion decades ago. CHSN President Jason Coyle is aware that's not ideal.
I had a Comcast customer come up to me this weekend and say, "Do you honestly want me to buy an antenna and switch for?" No, we don't. It's not an inducement to cut the cord. It's not a replacement for cable. It's not. It's different functionality. Can't record. It's perfectly good, and it's right for those people. But these are separate.
Coyle tells 670 The Score CHSN has made two offers to Comcast and has not heard anything back. A standalone CHSN app may be available in the future. Rick Gregg, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
In Buffalo Grove, a deadly crash remains under investigation this afternoon after an 87-year-old man was hit by a car this morning. It happened about 8 a.m. at Buffalo Grove Road and Laraway Drive. The driver, a 60-year-old woman, also from Buffalo Grove, was treated for injuries. No tickets or charges have been filed just yet. Authorities say a man's DNA has led to charges for a South Suburban car thief.
After a group of thieves broke into Coons Country Dodge in Woodstock in April of 2021 and stole five high-end sports vehicles, police collected evidence, including discarded cigarette butts from near the broken garage door. According to the McHenry County State's Attorney, 25-year-old Joshua J. Smith's DNA was found on one of those cigarette butts. And on October 10th, Smith, who is from South Suburban Dalton, was sentenced to 14 years in prison after pleading guilty to a felony charge of theft of a motor vehicle. Mai Martinez, News Radio 105.9 W.
And from the AppleChevy.com sports desk, here's 670 The Score's Mike Esposito.
Lisa, thank you. It is always odd to have a fall Sunday without a Bears game, but with the bye week, we all got just that yesterday. Today, back to work for the Bears at Halas Hall after a week away, and Rick Gregg reports.
Players got rest during the bye while Matt Eberflus got lost in the film room studying the first 6 weeks and particularly how his rookie quarterback is growing.
Yeah, I would just say improved, right? Or improving. You know, I always say it that every unit faces its difficulties every single week. I think he's learning that as we go. I think he's learned to really do a good job in the noise to work through those things. And also just basic operation of good quarterbacking. You can see that with the way he's executed the last few weeks.
Culminating in a four-touchdown day in London. First overall pick Williams has the Bears 4-2. Number two pick Jaden Daniels has Washington 5-2. They clash next Sunday if Daniels' rib injury lets him play. Covering the Bears, Rick Gregg, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Two Monday night games tonight. Baltimore is at Tampa Bay. You can catch that one on 670 The Score. The Chargers also play the Cardinals. An injury update from yesterday. As expected, Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson did in fact tear his Achilles in yesterday's game against the Bengals. He's done for the season. WNBA players have opted out of their current collective bargaining agreement. They face the prospect of a work stoppage if they can't negotiate a new deal with the league by the end of next season. The NBA tips off its season tomorrow night. The champion Celtics hosting Tom Thibodeau, Jalen Brunson, and the Knicks. The Lakers will entertain Minnesota. As for the Bulls, they start on Wednesday night in New Orleans. They finalized their roster today. Lonzo Ball on it after 2+ years of injury, as is Talen Horton Tucker, a Simeon High School product who claimed the final roster spot. With sports at 16:46, I'm 670 The Score's Mike Esposito on News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
No one in custody this afternoon after a shooting on the southwest side left a teenager dead.
Police say shortly before 9 p.m., a 17-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl were walking outside near Maplewood and West 56th when two men fired shots at them before fleeing the scene. The boy was taken to the hospital with multiple gunshot wounds to his body. He was pronounced dead. The girl had a graze wound to her leg and head and was taken to the hospital in good condition. No one is in custody as police continue their investigation. Carolina Garibay, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Chicago's official police oversight committee says it's confirmed that body worn and dash mounted camera video captured the moment when an officer fired at his car speeding away from police last week. That's the highlight from COPA's first official update on its response to the October 13th shooting near Seward Park at Division in Orleans. No one was hurt in the shooting. Police took one person into custody. Early voting sites for the upcoming election have now opened across the city, each with a number of resources to help voters.
At a press conference held inside the early voting super site on Clark Street in the Loop, Maricel Hernandez, Chicago Board of Elections chair, tells reporters that early voting numbers are down so far compared to 2016. 2020, not really comparable as it took place during the height of pandemic measures, but that she expects a sharp rise with the opening now of the city's early voting sites, open 7 days a week. The Board of Elections making it easy on voters this year.
A voter living in Chicago may choose to vote at any early voting site that's convenient for them, no matter where they live in the city.
In addition to being ADA compliant, a number of language services are available, including the top seven spoken in Chicago, Spanish, Mandarin, Cantonese, Polish, and several South Asian languages. Kimiko Mehta is the South Asian Community Services representative for the Chicago Board of Elections.
So we have Hindi, Urdu, Gujarati. The ballots are in Hindi, Urdu, and Gujarati.
Day of voter registration available at each polling site. More information about locations and where to find specific bilingual voting officials can be found on the WBBM website. In the Loop, Brandon Eisen, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
All Local is a production of News Radio 105.9 WBBM, Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on the Odyssey app to continue receiving up-to-date news and information.